First John, the first epistle of John, turning from hypocrisy to truth. And so tonight we're going to talk about truth or consequences. And so we welcome and invite all of you that are joining us online. If you're watching online, go ahead and check in if you want to. And please do and let us know that you're watching. So welcome to you. And, of course, if it's for your first time, you can text the word welcome to the number on the screen. And that's 94-210-941-3322. And then you can fill out a digital connection card and let us know and give us a record of your worshiping with us virtually. And, of course, we can connect you to us and connect with you further so that we can keep you notified and aware of whenever we're ministering via live stream. So praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to begin in 1 John 2, verse 18 through 29. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 29. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Glory to God. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 29. In the New King James Bible, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that this is the last hour. Verse 19, then they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. King James uses the word unction. And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that there is that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Verse 24, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true, and it is not a lie. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Praise the Lord. And so, tonight, truth or consequences. Now, let me backtrack a little bit and kind of lead up to that. First, with the thought or idea about love and the truth. So when Jesus was about to leave the earth, two of the most important things he talked about was the great commandment of love, but also the need for the Holy Spirit. And he called and specifically named the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth repetitively. Chapter 14 of John, chapter 15 of John, chapter 16 of John, the Spirit of Truth. Then in chapter 17, he was praying about truth and the word of truth. His word is truth. What was Jesus telling us as he was getting ready to leave the earth? All of us as his followers are to be ever learning truth and always loving love. That were the two biggest emphasis, you know, just like you, if you know you're getting ready to go and graduate to heaven and you want to tell them the most important things that you have to say at the end. So right before Jesus died, and of course we know he rose again from the dead, but then he ascended to heaven, he was teaching some of the most important things that we need to embrace. And John's kind of recycling it back to us. He's resending it back to us. But let's go back and hear what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth," that's what he's calling the Holy Spirit, "has come, he will guide you," that you and me, "into all truth." Everybody say, all truth. "And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." In other words, we always says he will take the things of Jesus and translate them and transmit them and transfer them to you for your own personal victory. See, Jesus' victory is your victory as well, because you're in Christ and you're one with Christ. And then it says in verse 15, "All things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said he will take of mine and declare it to you." So the Holy Spirit's in the show business. He's in the revelation business. The Spirit of truth is in the revelation business. The Holy Spirit is both the Spirit of truth, and the Holy Spirit is also the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us." So he didn't give us a substitutionary love. He gave us the God kind, the God class, and the God quality of love, so that you and I would have the capability, and then by learning about from the Holy Spirit, also have the spiritual competence on how to love, how to walk in love, how to be ever loving. But also, as the Spirit of truth, he helps us be ever learning. Every one of us should be ever learning truth, walking in the light of truth, practicing truth. Amen? Because we have an enemy, we have a foe, we have one who is arrayed against us, who's always about trying to deceive and cause us to believe a lie. That means things that are not truth. I believe it was in Revelation, it says he deceives the whole world. 100% of the time he's moving around, demons, devils, and cohorts, their cohorts, evil spirits, always trying to deceive. That's a major MO, modus operandi. That's a major mode of operations, is trying to deceive us. Amen. To believe the lie. So the Holy Spirit is our minister of revelation. Now, again, he's personal to you because he's in you. So the idea is you've got the teacher, the minister for your own personal life. In other words, we call it today a life coach. A life coach living on the inside of you. Praise God. Jesus said he'll abide with you forever. So he is your minister of revelation. Everybody say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my minister of revelation." So he reveals truth to you. Now, truth. He guides us into all truth. We read in verse 13 of John 16. He guides us into all truth. That means he's like a guide. Now, that means we would call it today a tour guide, the one that knows every route and every path and every point of that route that you need to travel. So he's an expert in knowing where you are and where you need to be. He'll guide you in all truth. And he'll show us things to come. He'll show us things to come. Truth is in the Bible, and things are outside the Bible. What is truth? Jesus said it even further. John 17:17 through 19. He says, sanctify them by your truth. He's praying to the Father. Your word is what? Truth. And as you have sent me into the world, I have also sent them, talking about his disciples, this includes us, into the world, for their sakes I sanctify myself, and that they also may be sanctified by what? So truth is a major means of us being sanctified, because we always said, you know, salvation, praise God, the promises and all the blessings there, justification deals with our past. But sanctification deals with our present and our practices. Sanctification is a position, but it's also a practice. It's ongoing and always to be practiced. So Jesus, our Lord, in his prayer that will be answered, he prayed that we'll be sanctified by the truth. And I know in Ephesians it talks about Jesus cleansing the church through the washing of his water, sanctifying the church through the washing of the water of the word. That's why you need to hear the word. You need to have the word preached to and taught to you, because it helps sanctify your life. Sanctify, as you see in your handouts, is to purify, to cleanse from corruption or separation, ordain or point to the work of redemption or the work of governing of the church, to separate, to set apart, to appoint to a holy, sacred purpose and use, to set apart for exclusive use and purposes for God. Everybody say, I'm justified, but I'm sanctified. Amen. He is our sanctification. Amen. And redemption. Praise God. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way. Everybody, what's the next phrase? Two words? The truth. Everybody say the truth. Not a truth. The truth. Now, what's the lie today? It's just Christianity is just one truth. He didn't say I'm an option of 10. Jesus said I'm the truth, the way, the truth, the life. Right? No one comes to the Father. Nobody. So when people on TV or on social media saying there's many ways to God, what's the answer? That's not truth. That's what? That's error. That's error. That's the opposite of truth. He said, nobody comes to God except through who? He is the door, he said in John chapter 10. I'm the door. I'm not a door. I'm the door. Amen. So this gives us a slight understanding of, you know, why there's so many religions. Because everybody's trying to get away to God. And what differentiates religion from Christianity, which is not supposed to be a religion, it should be a relationship, is what do they do with Jesus? Where do they place Jesus? They don't usually place him as the way or the door or the truth or the life. Now listen to me, because they study religion. They want to practice around Christ or outside of Christ, but not in Christ. Are you listening to me? All right, let's look at this. This is another powerful one. Look at this, Ephesians 4:21, Amplified Classic. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him as all truth. How much truth? All truth is where? In Jesus, embodied and personified in him. So even though it may be true or truly stated, it may not be truth. Now let me give you a clue. Everything in the Bible is truly stated, but everything in the Bible is not truth. That's why he said study to show yourself workmen, not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because when God speaks, that's truth. When Jesus speaks, that's truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, that's truth. Amen. That's eternal truth. That's the word of God that it lives, abides forever, right? But you got words from Satan. And Jesus clearly told us in John that Satan's a liar. He can't even, there's no truth in him, he said. There's no truth in Satan. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. Amen. And you have men that lied. Men that deceived. All the way through the Bible. Now, the account and the record recorded in Scripture was truly stated, truly happened. But that's not truth you stand on. Because some people try to take the words of men and make them immutable. I mean, you know, as a pastor, sometimes I hear people talk about Job and they equate their suffering or a funeral situation and quote Job when he was under extreme depression and discouragement for a moment. He got restored. God restored him. But, you know, you can't quote somebody that's under heavy depression and discouragement. Because he was talking outside his neck sometime. You know, because he made to say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And sometimes he used that at funerals. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Was that truth? Come on, class. Come on, church. No, it's not truth. It's truly stated by Job. But it's not truth that you need to stand on and walk in the light of. Lord is not going to take everything he gave you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of his son. He's going to give it to you and then take it back from you? No. The gifts and callings, we even talked about it Sunday, are irrevocable, irreversible. But some people think that. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see the written word is truth, the living word of God, the living word. Jesus is the embodiment and the personification of truth. So as we walk in the light of truth and practice the truth of the word about love and emulate and following the epitome example of love, Jesus Christ our Lord, sacrificially, unconditionally, those two run together. You know, even in John 1, it says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. So he came and taught us about grace and taught us about truth. A lot of people like the grace. It's good. Amazing grace. But not everybody likes the truth. Because, you know, a lot of people didn't want to repent and follow because he spoke truth. I call it it's the tough steak of scripture. Truth. But you got to walk in the light of it. You got to put your big boy, big girl pants on and walk in the light and practice truth. Amen. You know, when he said, you know, the truth will make you free, right? Remember, you shall know the truth. You're my disciples. If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, a lot of times freedom is not experienced because we're further away from the truth than where we ought to be. Lord, why am I having peace? Why am I worried and stressed out so much? Well, you're further away from the truth than where you ought to be. The truth is, cast, you know, even in the Psalms 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. And in other words, roll the care of it. But what happens, something comes, a crisis comes on the landscape or scenery of our life, and we go, why does this happen? Well, you're not doing the truth. You got to cast that care mode. That's what, the Lord's not hearing you. Your prayers are not even hitting the ceiling. You got to cast the care of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What about the truth in James chapter 1? Verse 2, count it all joy. Not if, but when. When you fall into diverse temptations, tests, or trials. Count it all joy. What does that mean, sister? That means we ought to be rejoicing at the onset of trials. That's practicing truth. But many people say, well, you know, I just want to walk around with a long face and complain about my situation. Why aren't you free? Why aren't you receiving victory over that trial, or victory, more accurately put, victory through that trial? Why aren't you triumphing in that trial? Because I'm not practicing verse 2, count it all joy. He didn't say it was a joy, but we have to count it all joy. In other words, I count it as an occasion or a cause to rejoice. I might have 10 things going wrong, then I need to be 10 times rejoicing 10 times more than I was. Amen. That's truth. In the middle of the storm, we're shouting. We're singing. We're praising God. That's practicing truth. Many times, I would submit to you this suggestion. Many times, we don't listen to the minister on the inside, the Holy Spirit, the greater one. What do we do? What do we do? What do I do? We just think he's extra luggage, just like something. Extra stuff in your closet or extra stuff in your trunk. Or, you know, people get in the airport and they overpack and it's got a lot of luggage. Okay, we got to charge you for this luggage. You used to think, well, the Holy Spirit's just extra charge and extra luggage. Because you treat him like luggage. When he's the Spirit of truth. And he's always on. He's always up. He's always ready. And he says, let's go. Let me help you. But he's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to listen to him. He's not going to make you do what he knows what you need to do. You have to yield and respond to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here with me? So let's talk about that extension just a little bit more about loving others passionately and purposely, because you are not just sloppy agape here. Sloppy love. In other words, when I'm up and I'm feeling good, I'm hugging everybody. How you doing? We got to get out of that emotional class of love. The spiritual class is where the love of God is. That means it's not emotional. It's not based on a feeling. Here's how Peter says it. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:22. 2025. Since you have purified your souls in obeying what? So there's that sanctification again. You purified your souls. That means your mind, your will, emotions, through the Spirit. So the Spirit's helping you in sincere love of the brethren. See how love and truth are connected again? Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. That means what? Look at verse 23 again. You're born of incorruptible seed. The Greek word there is the reproductive word we use, and it's called sperma. And so what does that mean? That means any born-again child of God has zero or no spiritual birth defects. So that's what, so we never see in the New Testament the word "I can't." And in this context, we say, "I can't forgive. I can't love them. I can't pray for them." What's the more, that's a lie, right? Because that goes against the truth. What's the real deal? You won't do it. You choose not to do it. Sincere love of the brother. You can love people sincerely. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. So you have the Holy Spirit who's purified your soul through obeying the truth. Obeying the truth means I got to. Jesus gave a very strong imperative. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. He's not talking about Eros, phileo, or storge. He said agape. If you have agape, what love for another. Now you see how the truth and we're getting to the truth and error. The error teaching is, you know, only love people you love yourself. Or you love and accept everybody. You know, things get really extreme in the world that the devil perverts and pollutes. The real truth about it. It says, because all flesh is grass and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withers and the flower fades away. But the word of the Lord endures how long? See, hope and holiness are to be joined in harmony by as God's people. Hope and holiness. Sometimes, having pastored for a few years now, it's easy for Christians to love the Lord and whom they've not seen rather than love those in whom they stand face to face with. And I always say, why do people fall out of love or get cold or wax cold in their love toward the brothers and sisters? Because there's a lie somewhere. There's an error somewhere that got in, and they swallowed it or believed it. Peter's telling us what? What did he say? Passionate and purposeful love should be our standard. Yeah, sometimes I should put a mirror up here so y'all can see what I look at. Praise God. So Christian love should be sincere. Literally, it means, he says sincere, it means unfeigned. That means non-hypocritical. Don't give me your teeth here and then take your teeth and bite it in my back when I'm gone. So that means it's unhidden, open and expressed. It's honest and it's vulnerable. Fervent means so strong, so intensely compassionate, so enduring that no amount of difficulty will deter it. You know, a lot of times the devil brings circumstantial resistance into our lives, and then what we do, we drop our major responsibility to love one another. Why? Because we go from others to self. We just read it a couple weeks ago. We know we pass from death to life because we what? We love the brethren. It's a big deal, guys. Pure means without no evil thoughts or feelings. Now I'm going to read a segment. I'm going to read it again on Sunday. That's part of our teaching. But Romans 12, turn over there with me. Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to start at verse 9 through 16. I'm just going to read it. Let love be without hypocrisy. This is Paul now saying the same thing. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with who? All men. Beloved, I think I read more verses than I needed to, but you guys got the deal, right? All right. So praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. So the phrase one another is mentioned in that passage I read. I read more than what I needed to, but three times. And it concerns reciprocal relationships in the body of Christ. There's a law of reciprocals. And love is the ultimate key to relationships. Well, I'm not, my relationships are not hot now. Well, we said it before, vertically has to be right with God. But here is just as equally important with each other. You can't say I'm getting along with God and I don't get along with anybody else out here. Because how you getting along with other people out here determines how you getting along with God up here. Everybody getting this? I know we're repeating some things, but it's important. To abhor is to he said, abhor that which is evil. We read in there in those verses. What is evil? It means to hate extremely or with contempt or to loathe or to detest or to abominate. See, God hates evil or lawlessness. Those who love the Lord hate evil. Those who love the Lord hate evil. You know, when I talk to some people sometimes, you know, I thought, first question, are they born again? Are they Christian? Born again, Christian believer, Christ follower? Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. And sometimes people will skate around that question. And they go to church. Are they born again? And then the second question is like 1A and then 1B. Do they love the Lord? That's a difference maker. That's a difference maker. Because if they love the Lord, they're going to hate evil. And if they love the Lord, they're going to follow the Lord and do what the Lord tells them to do. That's safe to be in a relationship with people who love the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So believers are not not to hate evil people, but to hate the evil that controls and corrupts their lives. We got to watch how we pray and what we say about people of the world that are doing very evil or hateful things. We can't mix them, the person, with the evil or hateful practices they do. Got to distinguish that. Amen. Because that's the lie that will go out there. That's the error. People go off and go in the corner somewhere and they start hating on people because they're doing evil or hateful things. And we'll get drinking that same Gatorade as they do. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Okay, everybody good? So think about powerful struggles which people deal with, pride and selfishness. They're all based in hatred. you know, I don't want you to look good or be any better, or see, because they compare and they compete and they commend themselves. And that's the three things you shouldn't ever do. You should never commend yourself. You should never compete. You should never compare. It's not wise. It's based in hatred, pride, and selfishness. In honor, giving preference to one another. So it means somebody truly loves another person, they will pursue what's best for them, even if it's costly. Gifts are not simply for people's enjoyment, but for also for the good of the church. Everybody say praise the Lord. Now let's bring that back to where we are now with John's talk telling us. That's just a backdrop there. Because I really want you to take home these three very important points here. Now, John is echoing the Lord's directive when he was talking in Matthew 24 about the deception of the last days. Beware, lest any man deceive you. Because they said, show us the time. What's the sign that the end is here? Deception was number one. Paul picked it up in his writings. We're not talking any of the Pauline epistles now. But John also picked it up and said, look at this. Let's pick it up again. Verse 18. This time we're going to be in a New Living Translation. Dear children, the last hour is here. Now you think how old this epistle is. And he said, the last hour is here. What are we in? The last 10 minutes? We could be, right? Could be in the last minute. And God's, because he's out of time, you know, there's no time limit with God. And you have heard that the Antichrist, now this is the two things you need to, the Antichrist is coming. Now we don't believe he's manifested yet until the church leaves via the rapture. And look at, and already many such Antichrists, these are the low ones, small ones, we're going to talk about that, have appeared. And I would suggest, without adding to the scripture, they're still appearing. More so today, because we have technology. For this we know that the last hour has come. My goodness. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. That's the key in those. We're going to break it down in a minute. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. Is leaving church a big deal? All right. Y'all looking at me? But you are not like those, like that, for the Holy One has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an, what does the scripture say? Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. Is an Antichrist. Now, I know your mind's thinking right now, but I'm going to help you a little bit. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, friends, faith in a lie will always cause serious consequences. What's some of the lies that some people, you don't have to go to church. Was that scripture? That's a lie. Some antichrist spirit has taught someone, and they listen to it and believe that lie, right? And it made them erroneous in their thinking and in their believing and behaving. Amen. See, faith in the truth is never misplaced. Faith in the truth is never misplaced. God has warned the church family about the conflicts between light and darkness. We studied that when we opened up this series. Chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 6. Light and darkness. Remember we said Paul, in his circular writing style, always went through those three elements. Light, life, or love, excuse me, and life. And so, next, we studied that he warned the church family between love and hatred. We saw it in chapter 2. We pulled out chapter 3 a little bit to talk about that, and you'll see it again in chapter 4. He's cycling through, reframing, refocusing on love. We got to be ever loving. But we have help from the Holy Spirit, not only giving us the love of God in our hearts, but also helping us to walk in the light of love, to walk in the way of love. Amen. And so that was in chapter 2, verse 7 through 17. Now he warns us about the third conflict, because if you don't remember or realize, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a civilian organization. Now, many of us served in the military, and we know, you know, you belong to the U.S. government. Well, in the kingdom of God, you belong to who? The Lord of angel armies. And if you read the book of Malachi, you'll find out how many times that word in the Amplified is mentioned, the Lord of angel armies, a bunch of times in Malachi. The Lord is a warrior. And where is our war? It's against the enemy of our soul. Where's our conflict? Against the devil, demons, and their evil cohort spirits. And we said the devil never takes it out. So you always got conflict. So this is the warning again. The conflict is between truth and error. Truth and error. It's not enough, friends, for a believer to walk in the light and to walk in love. He or she must also walk in truth. So we've always endeavored and have made it proclamation. This church is not just a word church, but a Holy Spirit church. You need both. Amen. See, all word people dry up. All Holy Spirit people blow up. But when you have the word and the spirit, you grow up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the issue is truth or consequences. So before John explains the tragic consequences of turning from the truth, he emphasized the seriousness of the matter. He did so by using two special terms. We just read them. The last hour, number one, and Antichrist. So what should that tell all of us? And those of us watching online, we're in the last of the last days. It's the last hour. That means we have to be aware and alert that the enemy's turned up the heat and propagating and promoting lies like never before. That's why you can't just listen to everything on social media and spend all that time listening to lies. Because you listen long enough, you're going to believe it. Amen. If you look at it long enough, you're going to become it. You got to realize it's the last hour. You can't be just going off to the extremes and indulgences that take you further away from truth. And then the Antichrist, break it down for me. Anti-Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. He was Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Hebrew word, anointed one and his anointed. He was anointed one from God. He was a sent one from God. So even in the, you know, just a little prophecy thing, you know, the satanic trinity or the end times, you know, you have that, the dragon, the beast, which is the dragon is the devil, and because he called that in Revelations, but he's anti-God. And then the beast, where people take the mark of the beast and things of that nature in Revelations during the tribulation period. The beast is Antichrist, or the Antichrist, spirit of Antichrist. And the false prophet, those are the three Satan, is the anti-spirit. Because they will work, in the Revelation stuff, they will work lying, that's like the email I sent out this morning, lying signs and wonders. And where they're going to trick people, because people look for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. They like the glitz and glamour. Woo, look at that, look at that. And the people get hooked up in it. Wow, yeah, wow. Miss the supernatural. I mean, it's going to be a lot more supernatural signs that are not of God, but are of the devil. I mean, spectacular signs. So both of those terms, the last hour and Antichrist, both those of them make it clear that Christians are living in an hour of crisis and must guard against the errors of the enemy. You know, in Corinthians, the second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it tells us in verse 5, examine ourselves so that that make sure that we're in the faith. That we're actually living a life of faith. Because we don't want to be reprobate. Because Paul talks about it. People are shipwrecked in their faith. They err from the faith. Because they're following money instead of following the master. Different things like that are in the New Testament. So Christians have always been living at the last hour, or the last time is crisis days. It is therefore important that you know what you believe and why you believe it. The spirit of Antichrist is behind every false doctrine and every religion substitute for the redemptive realities Christians have in Christ. Remember I said the number one crime that Satan commits against Christians is spiritual identity theft. So he tells you, don't hook up to Christ, hook up to your crisis. Because he knows outside of Christ, you're in crisis. In Christ, man, you're blessed, redeemed, restored, healed. That's why we said even Sunday, you know, we tried to put the mask on both Dre and Donnie. You know, remember? When you don't renew your mind, because the devil gets you too busy, and you believe the lie, I ain't got time to read the Bible. I don't have time to meditate in the Word. I don't have time to study the Scripture. He didn't tell pastors just to do it. He told us all to do it. He told us all to set our minds on things above. You walk around all day thinking natural stuff, carnal mind. Guess what? The devil's going to make inroads there. Because carnally minded is what? Death. But what do we say Sunday? When you don't take time to transform your thinking or renew your mind, you like putting on a mask. But what are you doing? You're masking who you are in Christ. And you walk around with the stinking thinking. What's the most important thing we need to do? The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How you living? It's been 2 or 3 days since you've been in the Bible. You are spiritually starved. And you're spiritually dehydrated. And stinking thinking has probably crept in. We got to have fresh stuff. The Holy Spirit's never off or tired or sleepy. He can help you. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So the prefix anti actually has a dual meaning. Listen to this. When it says antichrist, I'm breaking it down for you. One, it can mean, in the Greek word, both against Christ, number one, because that's usually the general understanding of it, but also, number two, instead of Christ. And so here's the 3 points that you need to take home with you. Because John, by the Holy Spirit, in this epistle, gives 3 outstanding marks of false teachers who are controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. And I'm telling you, that as I was studying this, the Holy Spirit said there's a bunch of people under control of Antichrist. That's why you got to watch who you're listening to and who you're hanging around. The loudest voice in the room is not always the truth voice. Amen. So we see here the scriptures we just read in verse 18 through 23. Number one, these false teachers, they depart from the fellowship. Now, I don't want you to show your hands or tell on your family and friends, but how many people kind of have talked to you in the past, maybe 5, 10 years, particularly during the COVID time, you need to stay home. You don't need to go to church. Where's that coming from? Is that the spirit of Christ or the spirit of Antichrist? Spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because they're always telling you, you don't need to come to church. And when Paul said it in Timothy, you know, the church of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. See, church is the official university of discipleship. But what is discipleship of truth? And you got family that will pull you and say, hey, let's go party. Let's go just have the weekend off. You don't need to go to church. You already go enough. What should your response be? This? Yeah, you're right. You can take the day off. Not everybody likes that. Our flesh doesn't like that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take a day off or take vacation, because you should. You should, all of you. But when they're constantly pulling you out and not pulling you in. Come on now. Are y'all here with me? People who succumb to yielding to false teaching and false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist tend to abandon and leave the church. Now, we know the numbers. We've told you. You know, during COVID years, the 2 years, it was a 30% loss average across board, 33% decline in church attendance. 70,000 churches closed the last year of COVID, 2022, out of 350,000 churches in America. That's 20%. They folded up, and they're no longer having worship services. Churches are closing at a rate of 7 churches closing to 1 to 2 or 3 opening. They're closing faster than they're opening. Where do you think that comes from? When just back in the 70s and 80s, church attendance was 80%, now it's 30%. That means you have a number of people, and 30% would actually show up consistently. Y'all quiet on me right now. Come on, say preacher, pastor, or say something, say something. So the local church is the gathering place to worship and then learn how to do the work of the ministry. Because we're not unemployed. We are employed to be deployed by the Lord. The church is the official university of discipleship, where we learn, receive, and grow in truth, the Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Church services are to be purposeful and powerful. The church is a legal and legislative assembly anointed, authorized, and appointed by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with things and matters in our community on the behalf of government business. The heavenly government, the kingdom of God. Fellowship is to occur vertically with God and our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and then horizontally around the Word and works of God with one another in harmony and unity. So a person who is a false teacher or controlled by the Spirit of Antichrist departs from the fellowship. They say, I don't need it. When the first two chapters, that's the main theme. Stay in fellowship with God and with each other. Hallelujah. Number two, he or she denies the faith. These are people who deny the Lord and are liars about the Lord. The Lord is God. He's raised up and, you know, was raised from the dead. He was highly exalted, given a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, but is really Lord God. So people get these half-truths, which are errors, and say, well, he's just my Savior, and he's just forgiven me of my sins, but he has to be Lord. Lord, and this is a hard statement, I don't always like making it, but he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. I mean, he gets to tell you what to do. You belong to him. Yes, sir. I'm yours to command and control. Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, the sent one from God, who is God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God and also man, flesh and bone. He raised from the dead bodily. He came bodily. The lies come out that he didn't come physically in the flesh. Christ has come in the flesh. He did bleed and die on the cross. Amen? But he never sinned as well. He was and is our substitute and our sacrifice. He's the only Savior and Lord and the only way to salvation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So denying the faith means you take Jesus out of the way when he is the way, the only way. And then thirdly, as we close, he or she tries to deceive the faithful. This is the spirit of Antichrist or a false teacher controlled by the spirit of Antichrist. Listen to verse 26 through 29. Listen to this. I'm writing these things to you and to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. New King James says, against those who want to deceive you. Amen. Who try to deceive you. And he says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. And you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And that doesn't mean you don't need to sit under teachers, you know, in Ephesians 4. But you have the Holy Spirit as a witness and a teacher. He breaks things down for you. Amen? He should be teaching. You should be in the school of the Holy Spirit all the time. What do I say? What do I pray? What would Jesus do in this situation? Holy Spirit, help me. You got to have that relationship. Amen. For he teaches you everything you need to know, and he teaches us the truth, and it's not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. And now, children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will have full courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, I want you to notice again, as I'm closing, in verse 24 through 29, the word abide is listed. You know, verse 24, it's listed twice. three times. Three times in one verse. And then in verse number 27, abide is listed again. And then verse number, 27 is twice again. And then 28 is abide is mentioned again. That means he stayed with the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That anointing, that anointing abides in you. That means you got the truth-giving and leading Spirit inside of you. He'll tell you that's not accurate. That's why you have to watch what you look at, what movies you listen to, because a lot of them tell you lies or bring lies out. And if you just watch it blindly like a young bird with their eyes closed and their mouth open. Come on, Pastor. Praise God. Y'all stand to your feet. And then you get deceived because anybody can drop anything in you. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for the privilege.